the Jacksonville Jaguars. Game day is underway. This is the Wingstop Kickoff Show, presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors. Here are your hosts, Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser.
Oh, and it's a new era, and it starts today, and we get to kick it off, Jeffrey.
Yes, Jacksonville, we do. Yeah.
Jaguars, Houston Texans, Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer. Here we go. It's finally here.
You know, it's Woo! Become almost cliche at this point because we've been so excited about it since last season started to torpedo, but what a great day to open the curtain. Beautiful morning here in Jacksonville.
Beautiful.
I do expect as we evolve this program throughout the football season, we need like a back patio studio.
Oh.
To enjoy some of these crisp fall mornings that are coming.
I now, like it.
So we'll be in studio on road dates, but on home dates, Googans, this is your chance to get out and meet the media mogul, Dan Hicken.
Wow.
As we will do the show live from Tailgaters, I believe, on every home Sunday.
No autographs, please. It is the Wingstop Kickoff Show, which means we have a wonderful giveaway later in the program.
I'm going to steal it right out of the gate. Is that not allowed?
Wingstop party like you've never seen before, and we'll have the particulars as we move on throughout the morning. We're going to talk to the Frange Man. We've got Hayes Carline. So a couple of the dudes lined up who are in Houston for the call. But most importantly, Urban Meyer's in Houston. And with a win, Meyer would become the second coach of franchise history to win the season opener in his first season as head coach. You know who the other one was? It happened
Marone?
Just 4 years ago with Doug Marone when he beat the Texans in the 2017 opener. However, the Jags have lost six straight against Houston. We need to right that ship today.
I feel like that 2017 season opener, and I'm sure it's remembered this way because what that season became, it's one of the more memorable season openers in Jaguars history to me. They've
yes.
been so bad for so long.
Yes.
They had put so much into offseason free agency. We were seeing the coming of age talent-wise of young guys like Jalen Ramsey and Yannick Ngakoue. And
who?
They just absolutely steamrolled them that Sunday afternoon in Houston, and it did, you know, become a harbinger of things to come that year.
Yeah, it did, and it is a memorable football game. There's no question about that, and it probably signaled, because I don't think you could do this anymore, it was probably the last, quote, tough, end quote, training camp in NFL history. Because if you remember in 2017, the boys were ready to mutiny. They were not happy with the kind of camp Marone Coughlin ran, and obviously Marone then eased up going into 18-19, and the rest, as they say, is history with Dougie Doug. But that was a tough training camp, and I do remember, but they went out, and then they beat the living heck out of Houston, 10 sacks that day, and all of a sudden
defensive
that training
scores.
Camp wasn't so bad. You know what I'm saying? So you can't run a training camp like that anymore. It's not possible with the CBA agreement and such. They turn you in if you have cornerbacks push wide receivers in OTAs.
And they did here.
And they did. So with that said, though, Urban Meyer and the boys get going. It'll be fun to see. We've watched a lot of training camp. We've watched the preseason games. And I think we have no idea what to expect in a lot of ways.
I'm glad that Trevor Lawrence got as much playing time as he did. You know, the trend around the league, man, if you play quarterback in this league and there is any value on you,
yes,
you didn't play a whole lot in the preseason. Now, there are exceptions. Andy Reid plays Patrick Mahomes. There are guys, you know, around the league that played some, but we feel so much better, don't we, going into this game because of the last little road trip to Texas when Trevor and the offense finally got going against the
yes.
Cowboys. And where will we be right now today? And look, Oof. It's not going to matter here in 7 hours. We're going to have an outcome to talk about.
Yes, we are.
Where would we be without that, you know, optimism that came from that final preseason game?
We would be lost. We would be wondering what was going to happen and scared to death. Meyer, one of seven new head coaches in the National Football League. He'll coach against another one of them in David Culley today. And Houston is a mess over there in Texas. But with that said, they have a lot of NFL players.
Sure they do.
A lot of NFL coaches. And we've still lost 15 games in a row. It's a new-look Jaguars team. It's a new era. But we've got to try to find a way. We are favored to win this football game.
That's amazing. Think about that.
Yeah.
A 1-15 team from a year ago playing on the road, and you're the favorite. That's unimaginable. It tells you what Vegas thinks of just the state of, if nothing else, chemistry in Houston. Listen, the closer we get to this game, the further I step away from, oh, this is going to be a great grand opening, go on the road, kick
right.
some butt, come home 1-0.
Right.
I mean, the Houston Texans and their fans should laugh at that supposition if Jaguar fans are making it, because you have a veteran quarterback in Tyrod Taylor who, and this is important, he's probably not going to give the Jaguars much, Hick. At his best, he wasn't explosive, he wasn't flashy, but he didn't turn the ball over. Remember, he'd have these really high quarterback ratings because he'd throw 10 touchdowns with two picks. So he'll manage the game. They have a stable of running backs. The Jaguars were terrible against the run last year, and we hope they're going to be a lot better.
Yes.
So the defense will get after Trevor Lawrence. This offensive line has a lot to prove, especially when it comes to protecting the quarterback. And we'll hit a little deeper on all these issues as we move through the couple of hours.
You mentioned Trevor Lawrence, and history is certainly working against him as he is slated to become the first rookie quarterback to start week one in our franchise's history. So that's exciting. With a win, he would join slinging Sammy Darnold, Marcus Mayhem Mariota, RG3, Andy Dalton as the only rookie quarterbacks to win in week one on the road since 2010. Now, those are just rookie quarterbacks. He can also become the fifth quarterback drafted first overall to win his first career start in the common draft era. That's 1967 to the present. That tells you that has not happened a lot.
Ironically, wasn't it a Houston Texan?
It was. The last quarterback selected with the first pick to win his first career start, David Carr in 2002.
The previous, he beat the Cowboys, didn't he?
I believe so. Yeah. The previous 25 before Lawrence, a combined 4-20-1 in their first career starts. The other three who won their first career starts, you can go back to 1971 when Jim Plunkett hooked up with Randy Vataha and the Pats beat the Oakland Raiders 20-6.
Where was Phil Villapiano watching the play?
Phil Villapiano was blitzing from his left linebacker spot, is what he did.
Sure.
While Marv Hubbard was screaming on the sidelines with Banaszak.
Banaszak was
stop.
Puffing on a smoke.
Yes, he was. Then in 1983, John Elway and the Tres Amigos beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in a barn burner 14-10. And then, of course, up there in the ATL, Mike Vick won his first career start. But it wasn't the opener. It was in November against the Dallas Cowboys, 20-13. And David Carr beat Dallas. Maybe we wish we were playing Dallas. I guess we already beat Dallas, so we don't have them this time in the regular season. But, yeah, so the odds are working against Trevor Lawrence, and they're also working against Zach Wilson. Is that his name? I always get his name wrong. Up in New York.
That's his name. You got it right.
As so they go to
– Always is now out of play.
It's out of play. As they go to Carolina – to take on the Panthers. But, yes, Trevor Lawrence, the new era starts today. What do we have to see from Trevor today? And you know we're going to judge his every pass, his every move, his every bit of leadership, whatever he does. But what do you want to see from Trevor Lawrence in his NFL opener?
You know, I don't think it's a number.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking that same thing on the way in. I was anticipating
that question.
That question would be in coverage today.
Yes.
So, for me, it's not a number. And it's not strictly get a win. If he goes out and goes, you know, looks sketchy and he's 11 for 30 and they still win, you would, you know, have your reservations. I just want him to look like as confident and as smooth as he's looked in the preseason.
Okay.
And let the results come with what it is. I don't think if the Jaguars bog down offensively, it's going to be because of Trevor Lawrence. I don't think that. So if other things aren't ready for him to excel, it's not going to make me feel any less about I can't be more sold on the kid, Hick.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no result that's going to happen today that's going to shock me. He can't be so bad to shock me that it'll be shocking. I just don't believe that he's capable of going
out
and doing
that. Can you repeat that, please,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah, no, I can't.
Okay, because I'm not exactly sure what you just said, but I'll follow along.
Thank you.
I'll pretend.
Well, good.
Well said.
We have a lot of experience at that, about 20 hours a week worth.
We do. Now we have 22 wonderful hours.
Yeah,
we will lead
Monday
into
to Friday wasn't enough. For
Jaguar.
These
it's great that we could spend a couple more hours together on Sunday morning.
You bet. Yeah.
That will be a lot of fun.
100%.
That should go well by about November.
At least the intro and beginning to this program is a little different than ours.
That's true.
Weekday mornings.
That's true. But anyway, also we'd like to introduce Michael Phillips. He's new to 1010.
I've decided I'm going to call him MP Hammer.
MP Hammer.
So from this point forward, he's Hammer.
He's a BT grad.
Yeah. Bartram Trail.
Proud Bartram Trail Bear. Perhaps he can explain what happened to the football squad on Friday night.
I saw that.
I mean, three games against pretty tough competition. Big opponents. I think they just kind of got worn down.
Excellent point. Well done there.
Are we the first to have dubbed you the nickname Hammer?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see.
Congratulations.
I have to nickname some other things.
It could be worse.
You
could have a much worse nickname. I'd say we did you a solid, to be honest. But a Hammer will guide us through the season, and please, Hammer, don't hurt us.
And we do gloss many people
we
here.
We do. Everybody gets one.
And
you can be Sticks.
Yeah.
I'll take Hammer.
Hammer's
good. You
it's
bring
hammer
the hammer.
Time. Yeah. So we're happy to have him.
You're lucky you're an MP.
We asked Beef to do the show, but he needed a cushion.
Yeah, of course he did. You think that guy's going to get up and do anything without high, dollar value on it?
No.
Yeah.
No, the work ethic there was.
I'll go host Beef the Brains here in an hour, Hick. He'll be right there with me.
If you offer him a check.
So back to Trevor Lawrence. I expect him to – I expect any problems we have offensively to not be – driven out of him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to be the problem. So, listen, I'm on an island here on this one.
I'm on a boat.
Well, stay there. It seems like it's been an awful soft sell of DJ Chark in his return.
Yes.
Like it's not a deal. That's a deal. He hadn't been here the entire preseason.
Yes.
Trevor worked with DJ Chark an awful lot. I'm looking forward to the offense getting out there and in a rhythm where the actual best talent plays for 60 minutes. You lose sight of that in preseason. So I'm looking for Trevor to go out and during the course of a game get into a groove with a Marvin Jones or a DJ or a Laviska Shenault.
Yes.
Listen, while we bemoan, and rightly so, the loss of Travis Etienne, what a shame. This opens the door right up for a guy who's proven that he can run the ball more than effectively in James Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Who needs just 86 yards to get 1,500 scrimmage yards for his career, Jeff Prosser. Now sporting,
and he sat out the last couple last year.
He did.
Year.
Now sporting number 25.
Yes.
Don't forget that. And he would join only Fred Taylor as the only players in franchise history to get 1,500 scrimmage yards through their first 15 games. That's pretty impressive stuff.
Well, I guess my point being.
Your point is, why has everyone forgotten about him?
Well, and it's this. Yeah, it's terrible that you lost Travis Etienne. Mm-hmm. But if his impact and his plays have to go to a guy like James Robinson, who, let's be honest, was going to lose some of his opportunity from a year ago.
49 catches last year, the most by any rookie running back in the NFL, so he can catch the ball. What they were hoping with Etienne was the explosiveness, the
flash plays.
Bigger than 20-yard plays, the ones where he could take it to the house. Etienne did it 70 times in his college career, so not having Travis Etienne is a huge loss. But your point being well taken, that having James Robinson – does sort of make up for it. I think the key is, what Carlos Hyde are we going to get?
Yeah, and
can we get a guy who goes in there and gives Robinson a spell and makes some things happen?
And he's been that player everywhere but here, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays
out.
Because
if he can be the guy, I think Robinson's going to be fine. I think Robinson is what he is. I don't think James Robinson is ever going to be a take-it-to-the-house running back. But
that's
I do think James Robinson is a north-south runner who will bang into you and push the pile and get you 4 yards when you need two or get you 7 yards when you need three.
So I think
that's a huge positive to have.
And again, the snaps you're going to lose from Travis Etienne most likely are going to go back to James Robinson, who was going to lose them to begin with, back to Travis Etienne.
Yeah.
Not many teams can withstand the loss of a player they think is going to be a flash player.
Right.
And still have the at least capability of getting that production behind them. The receiver position, which we wondered about, well, lo and behold, here we do have six that will be active going into today's game. Now, whether or not they put six on the 45, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But we were all a little bit surprised, and it turns out they used the practice squad more as a for maneuverability here. They didn't really cut Treadwell or Dorsett or any of those guys. They just shifted them to the practice squad. But I did see that they've called up Devin Smith.
Yes.
And so they signed off the waiver wire, Tyron Johnson, and then that pairs with the three and Agnew, who will play special teams.
Yeah, so that's good.
They're
that's
not understaffed
nice
at the position.
No.
That's a group of five, and we've seen Smith make one play. It was a big one. It was an
nice
impressive
catch,
one.
Though. Yeah,
a
nice
former
catch.
High draft pick, another guy who has experience playing.
Again, today's
with
all about
Meyer.
Though Chark and Shenault and Marvin Jones Jr. But yeah, it's nice to have those guys in the background. And listen, it's the National Football League. Guys are going to get hurt. Did I say National Football League? It's opening day in the NFL, man. It's as good as it gets. We're the warm-up act. We're getting you started. We've got Jaguars coverage all day long here on 1010 XL. Pre-game,
literally.
Game, post-game, extra post-game. extra post game. It's all right here.
Call in shows.
Sun up
call
to
in
sun
shows.
Down. We're doing it on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. It's exciting. We're just getting started. We got a lot to do today. We're going to talk with the voice of the Jags, Frank Frangie, at 8:30. Hayes Carline will come along at 9:30, go behind enemy lines. And we'll come back, talk about some injuries and the rest right here as we get you started on the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
Starting your game day, the Wingstop Kickoff Show, presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
Oh, I like it. I like it. It's good to be here on the Wingstop Kickoff Show. Dan Higgins, Jeff Prosser hanging out on a Sunday morning. We'll do it from 8 to 10 this morning, and happy to have you along as we kick things off with a new era, the Trevor Lawrence era, starting
exciting.
Today. I cannot
it's
wait
exciting.
For 1 o'clock. It can't get here good enough, quick enough, fast enough, whatever enough. I want it. I need it now. Not everybody gets to play today, Jeff Prosser. It's the NFL, and part of the NFL are, well, injuries.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
The good news for the Jags is they're relatively healthy. Man.
Relatively so.
Yeah, I mean, we lost Travis Etienne. That's a big loss. Everybody already knows about that, though. But Trey Herndon won't play today. Tyson Campbell hopefully will be able to give it a go. And
Jordan Smith got banged up late, but again, that's a rookie defensive end. I'm not sure he'll even be on the, you know, they carry the 53, but it's got to go to 45 for game day.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
there are eight names on this roster that aren't going to be a factor mm-hmm. in dressing out today and being impact players. I would imagine that Smith for sure would probably be on that inactive list. Tyson Campbell is the interesting one. I mean, already without Herndon, that is a position that could potentially be vulnerable. And I know there's no Deshaun Watson. More on that, by the way, coming up this morning. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of breaking news, at least when it comes to the parameters of any kind of trade, as far as what ESPN is reporting on their shows this
morning. Well, just real quick, Emmanuel Sanders has a foot injury for the Buffalo Bills. Taylor Decker has a finger injury for the Detroit Lions. Outside backer Za'Darius Smith in Green Bay, he's got a back problem. Tyrann Mathieu's on the COVID list. He didn't practice all week. Austin Eckler for you fantasy guys. Oof,
sketchy.
Did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. Agent said it was precautionary. We'll see what the Chargers do with him. Anthony Barr has a knee injury with the Vikings. Nelson Aguilar didn't practice Thursday. Limited Friday for the Patriots. A lot of questions around Saquon Barkley. Is he going to go? I mean, again, if you've been cleared, you play. I don't understand it. But nonetheless, Barkley will play Sunday. But they'll say it'll be in a limited role. So those are some of the guys around the National Football League. And after this, after today, injuries are a reality. There'll be more to follow. But heading into week one, we are ready to go. The good news for the Indianapolis Colts is that both their offensive linemen and their quarterback are back today.
Yeah, so. They're putting an awful lot of faith in Carson Wentz, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Right?
Yes,
they went and got a guy who, with the Eagles, seemed to be progressing in the wrong direction. He's been reunited with Frank Reich, who was his offensive coordinator in Philadelphia when he had his, you know, best success.
Uh-huh.
It's almost hard to remember that Carson Wentz was poised to be one of these top three quarterbacks that we talk about every year.
Yeah.
I mean, he seemed like he was on his way to an MVP. He was having an unbelievable year. He gets hurt. Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And it's like a curse has kind of hung over him since then, gotten a little progressively worse. But I tell you, in Indianapolis, they're counting on him.
No doubt. The Chiefs, by the way, have activated Matthew from the COVID list.
I thought I saw that.
That's some good news. And then the Chargers say Eckler is expected to play Sunday. What's the news on Deshaun Watson?
Well, you know, I was going to say earlier with the Jaguars, we were talking about the Jaguars' cornerback injuries. Look, the Texans have a Jag killer over there. Brandon Cooks has tore the Jags up through the years in various stops. So, yeah, it's Tyrod Taylor. It's not Deshaun Watson. But be careful with Cooks, and the defensive backs better be on their A game today or they're going to get burned. All right. Reports on ESPN this morning from your guy, Adam Schefter, senior ESPN writer.
Adam Schefter?
Schefter, it is.
Adam Schefter?
No, I believe it's Schefter. Yes, Adam Schefter.
The gray one.
He's a gray.
Yes.
The Houston Texans.
People don't know that.
There's a society.
Actual gray man.
Yeah, there are a society of grays out there.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with
that. No.
But he is gray.
But he's a gray, yes. So the Houston Texans are seeking a package of six players and draft picks from teams interested in trading for Deshaun Watson.
Six total pieces.
Six players and draft picks. Okay. Whether the
combination.
Correct. Yes. Whether it consists of one player and five draft picks.
However, they want six.
The Texans have been unwilling to budge from that trade.
What if it was five? What if I offered you five? You're not taking it.
Apparently, no budging.
I don't think he'll get traded until the season's over. I think there's some sort of realization
of what's going to happen to him.
Why would you trade for him right now and not know what?
I don't even know. You take a deeper dive what the contract situation is. As long as he's exempt, is he getting paid? Do you still owe that pay? There's a lot of moving parts here to a Deshaun Watson trade. But, yeah, if I'm an NFL team, I am not trading for him anytime soon. They're going to have absolutely no value soon, the Texans. Yeah. And at some point, he's not going to play. You're going to be able to get him for less
than
that.
I think as teams get a look at their quarterbacks as the season moves on and we get I almost think it might not be until the draft time next year. And then teams realize that, okay, this kid can't play. This guy's no good. Let's make it, all eyes on Miami and Tua, obviously, going forward. How will Tua play this season? He'll get this season, so he'll get 2 years to prove himself. If Tua doesn't make major strides, Miami's a 10-6 football team. They're pretty talented. They would probably go all in to try to get Deshaun.
It seems like Miami is the one fire that produces the most smoke.
I think Carolina might be willing to do it. I think Philadelphia might be willing to do it. Pittsburgh would if they swooped in. Now, they're not big on these big trades.
Right.
But it would be interesting to see.
I'm interested, to see how Jameis Winston, and I say this because he is a guy who was there were a lot of teams that had an opportunity to pick him up. You know, he's going to make a team like the Steelers look foolish if he indeed has reinvented himself as a guy who can protect the football and be a franchise quarterback for New Orleans. I mean,
right?
They got him for nothing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, just a veritable cast-off.
And they'll be here today playing at TIAA Bank Field against the Green Bay Packers. That'll be fun to see. It'll be interesting to see what kind of crowd. There were a lot of Packers and Saints fans flying in at JIA yesterday.
That's going to be cool. I'm certainly curious to see, what exactly the total number will be. But hey, as long as if it means big time sports are coming to our town, I'm all for it.
I'm all for it as well. Speaking of big-time sports, a lot of college football yesterday. Let's talk about that for just a second. My goodness, FSU. My goodness. You went from the best loss in program history to the worst loss in program history.
One of them. One of the worst.
There is no worse.
Are you sure?
Yes.
We haven't had one here these last few years.
There is no worse.
Against someone just like that at the beginning of the year.
There is no worse.
You sure we haven't lost to Samford or Citadel? Or somebody?
It is mind-boggling.
Hammer, can you go through the last few years of FSU football and find me their worst loss?
I know they're 0-2 for the third time in the last 5 years.
Well, to your point, listen, this is what we talked about all morning on the award-winning, rating spectacular program, The Drill.
Yes.
Okay? Here is the silliness with declaring an instant moral victory. Like, the performance against Notre Dame is a moral victory only depending on how you follow it up. And by following up, by losing at home to Jacksonville State, the Gamecocks, Dan.
Yeah.
By losing to the Gamecocks of not South Carolina, but Jacksonville State.
They lost to the Cocks.
There is no moral victory in the Notre Dame game. Now it's just a one on the right side of the dash.
Yes.
Which is the wrong side of the dash.
Not good.
In this case. So now, all of this positive momentum that Mike Norvell had built up, all of this feeling of turning a corner and a new era and an energy and a buzz, it all falls flat if you're going to now turn around and go 4-8. Devastating loss, not just for Sunday the 12th.
You lose faith in a coaching staff 100%. And wondering what in the heck, and I say heck because it is Sunday, they were thinking.
Shout out to all of you heading to the house of God this
morning.
Amen
to that.
We're here with you.
What in the heck were they doing on that final play with 6 seconds to go? One corner was pressing a receiver. Why weren't they back? Well, what are they thinking?
Yeah, and that falls in line after.
And then the effort by the two defensive backs, knowing that
haphazard.
If you just tackle.
Yeah, it was like a scrimmage or
what
something.
What are you doing? Okay, he caught it. I'm beat. Still can tackle him and win the game.
Yeah.
There's no time. They would.
Yeah, it wasn't just the guy getting open. It was that even after he caught the ball, we have two defenders there. How about a little effort, a little want to? But this does not bolster the resume of Mike Norvell. And I know FSU is in no position to make a quick turnaround. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
The hot seat isn't in regards to, is he going to get fired this year at the end of the year? Certainly not. He's going to serve his 4 or 5 years. But you lose faith in what your guy's going to be able to do when you lose home games. To ask Will Muschamp if you can lose at home to a Georgia Southern or Jacksonville
Corey
State.
Corey Clark has covered FSU football for a couple decades. Worst loss in FSU history since my birth. All the goodwill built up last Sunday night, completely erased. One step forward, two steps back. Genuinely stunned at that defensive call with 6 seconds left. So
yeah,
I don't think there's ever been a worse loss by FSU.
I'll trust you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the worst losses, that's definitely clearly the worst. The second worst probably Pitt last year. They lost 41-17. Louisville, they lost 48-16.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are like my spreads. Those are terrible losses, but that's to the opponent.
Florida State is now 0-2 for the third time in their last 5 years, 21-28 since the beginning of 2017, the worst 49-game stretch since 72-76.
And they've had close calls. I think Jacksonville State was a close call years ago in Sanford. They've had close calls against these teams, but now they've actually lost one and at 0-2, and now looking at a schedule. And by the way, let me tell you what happens to this top five 2022 recruiting class.
Yeah. I'm not going there.
It just melts away.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to talk to the voice of the Jags, Frank Frangie, when we return. He is on the ground in Houston, Texas. And he'll preview the Jags and the Texans next right here on the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
This is the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
Presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
All right, now, Hammer, where are we on the progress of making sure that the rejoiners in the liner say, starring Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser?
Not in a great spot right now.
Hammer, we're going to need you to work on that and get that done by next week.
Hick was serious about that. See, sometimes he'll say something like that, and the producer will nervously laugh like, is this my responsibility?
We'll just go ahead and go right inside the business and let you know what we expect from you.
Yeah. I mean, I can jump on myself and just add it at the end.
That's fine. I have no problem with that.
That's
ingenuity.
I like that.
That's
right?
Go-to-itiveness.
That's correct. There's a little want to there.
I like that.
In that.
Yeah.
So the Jaguars want to get off to a good start. We'll keep the good start to today's program. I mean, so far the reviews are coming in. They're raving.
Are they?
That's
exciting.
Yes. Frank Frangie is the play-by-play voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He gets the prime time slot for
us. That's correct. Yeah.
He's 1-4 guy.
Correct. But he does get woken up at 8:20.
Yeah, we got him early.
We got that going for
us. That's nice.
And we put that in the contract.
Yeah, hell
yeah,
we
did. Can we get to wake Frank up? Yes. Okay, we'll do it.
We'll do it. Hello, Frank.
Those good reviews are going to hit rock bottom now.
Oh, no. That's not true.
Got off to that great start.
Come on.
Hey, man, it's great to have you guys on Sunday morning. How's everybody there?
Oh, we are spectacular and excited, and it's a beautiful day in Jacksonville, FLA, and I trust it's nice. So over there in Houston, as you made your way there early yesterday. So what a great opener. What a great opportunity for the Jags. But with that opportunity, it's sort of a double-edged sword because you're playing a team that you're kind of supposed to win. And we were 1-15 last year, Frank.
Here's what's interesting about that, Dan. I came in early because I wanted to watch the Gators. I could crack at dawn, and I've been here all day, and I went for this walk. And then around last night, I'm serious about this. In the 8 years I've done this, this will be the eighth. I've never seen so many Jaguar fans in the opponent's city as I saw last night.
That's great.
Yesterday afternoon. I've never seen this. You go to a college game, and everybody goes because they come from Orlando and West Palm and Pensacola. And, well, that's how this seems. I can't wait to get to the stadium to see if it feels like that. So to your point, Jaguar fans expect to win the game. It's not going to be an easy game. It's not. I mean, you don't go from 1-15 to where there's easy games. But you're right. There's some pressure on them. I think more than anything else, though, Dan, I think people are just so freaking excited that it's here. And Urban's running out there, and Trevor Lawrence is running out there, and it's real, and it counts. And I think that's kind of the emotion I felt, even here in Houston with all the Jaguar fans.
You know, it's interesting you say, pointing out the number of Jaguar fans there. We felt that during the week, during the show. We had people, we're on the way to the airport. Good for you. So, people are excited. There's an enthusiasm. Now, my question for you, Frank, is around Urban Meyer. This is a guy that we all covered, if not day-to-day, certainly championship to championship when he was at the University of Florida. You would think as a guy went up, he would clam up more. What's been remarkable to me about Urban Meyer is how much he has been willing to share and how open he has been about any insecurities even he may have about making this jump up. The latest was he had a big sit down with Pete Thamel and went inside of his, you know, of his office. And, you know, he talked about that mindset of, listen, you can't just accept losses in the NFL. They're inevitable. So you just realize that that's part of the program, but it's going to be fascinating to me to see how he can react to something that he hardly ever did at the other level, and that's losing football games.
You know, Jeff, the first thing you said there is so dead on how transparent he's been. You know, when you're the leader, when you're a leader, you're kind of expected to know everything. So then leaders sometimes kind of act like they know everything because they're expected to. They're know-it-alls. Man, he hadn't been that, has he? He has pretty much said, listen, the NFL is a new paradigm for me. I'm leaning on an NFL GM. I'm leaning on NFL assistants and coordinators. And I'm learning as I go. That's a different Urban than we all covered 15 years ago, whenever it was. I agree with you on that. And, yeah, you hit the biggest question is he's never been in a league where everybody has kind of the same good players, which means everybody loses a bunch of games. He's never had to live that. And he's been asked it, what do you figure, 100 times, right? He's been asked that thing, probably, I'm not exaggerating, he's probably been asked that question 100 times. And he said, no, I'm never going to get used to losing, but we'll see how it goes. That's the part that's going to be interesting, Jeff. Watch him on the sidelines. You know the camera's going to be all over him, right? Watch him on the sidelines when they throw a pick. Watch him on the, whether it's this week or next week. Watch him on the sidelines if they're down 17-3, because at some point this year they're going to be down 17-3. That's how the league is.
Bite right? your tongue, Frangie.
I think that's part of it. I can't wait to watch this whole paradigm unfold. I mean, everything you just said, we're getting to see it unfold finally today. I'm really excited.
Frank, at any point, are we going to transition off of targeting, when I say we, the national media, are we going to transition off of targeting and tearing down Urban Meyer? There's been a concerted effort. Every decision that Urban has made since he got here has been way overstated, overblown, whether it's the problem that may occur in the distraction of Tim Tebow, or I can go down the line. The most recent is when Urban Meyer released players last week, and again, speaking to his forthrightness, and they said, did vaccination have any role? And he was just honest, everything had a role, so I would say vaccination would. And lo and behold, the numbers have now come out, and I'm sure the apologies from the NFLPA and the media won't, but of the 24 that were released, 23 were fully vaccinated. So it clearly didn't play a role. So I once the season gets going and coaches are more measured on wins and losses, are they going to back off, or is Urban Meyer just always going to be persona non grata and seemingly unlikable by anyone who he's not representing?
The NFL, Jeff, is very NFL-ish, right? That sounds kind of crazy, but it's NFL-ish. If you're not the NFL, if you don't do things the way the NFL's always done it, well, we're going to rip you and criticize you for how you do it. That's anybody that does it differently. That's just how it is. Well, you know how you mitigate that? Win the games. When the year comes, this year, next year, whenever, when you look up and they're 7-1, the criticism is going to stop. Anytime somebody's out of the box, when Chip Kelly came to the NFL, he did things differently. If he'd have won and won and won and won, people would have said it's the greatest hire they've ever made. When it didn't go so well, he's a college guy and he's crazy and he's zany. They got to win to stop that. That's why this week's important. That's why next week's important. Everybody expects them, kind of Dan, what you said at the top, to start off well. Everyone thinks they're going to be good. Well, it's hard, man. They're 1-15. But to your question, Jeff, I think the criticism wanes the more they win football games. There's no doubt in my mind whether that's Urban or anybody else. That's kind of how it goes. I agree with you. People can't wait to say, Urban said this, Urban did that. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? It does seem like people can't wait to say it. I think there will be less of it when they start winning games.
Franch, forgive me. This is year what of your tenure as the voice?
Eight. This is year eight.
Year eight?
Yes, year eight.
Yeah.
Yep. Franch, here's why Jag fans are so excited, because
see what I deal with, Frank?
Yeah.
What? I do see it.
Shiny object. Shiny object.
Because like you who've had to sit there and call and feign excitement for Jake Luton and Styx Glennon and Chu and Cody Kessler and Nick Foles and Blake and Chad Henne. And
one of the McCowns.
Blaine Gabbert and Todd Bowman and Trent Edwards. We got Trevor now. That's
right.
And that's what is so, and we're going to have Trevor. So when you're in year 23 is the voice, 15 years from now, Frank,
and
Lawrence has compiled these incredible career numbers, and he's deciding to call it quits, and like the man who said goodbye to Wayne Gretzky, you're tearing up watching him. That's why there's so much excitement, Frange, around this franchise.
I agree. You said it. We've never had these nice things. That's what you just said, and it's true. We've never had nice things. Somehow, some way, the ping pong ball, the lottery ball has fallen somewhere else. Entire 27
always.
Years.
Yes.
Oh, always. And for the first time, it fell here. Oh. That is when Frank Gore made the first down, man. When the Jets won the game, that from that moment on, Jaguar fans started pinching themselves. Right? I mean, that really happened. From the minute it happened, we're all like, wait a minute now. So we picked Fur and Trevor and, I mean, well, it can't be us. I mean, it never happens to us. That's what happened. That's why people listening right now are throwing their fist in the air as you ask me that question, as you make that comment, and they can't wait to, if they're here, if they're watching on TV, if they're listening to a radio broadcast, if they got their teal on. That's why what you just said, we've never had this. And, hell, I'm excited as hell about this. It is my 8th year, and I can't wait because of what you just said. Yeah, we've never had it. We have it now. Now, you got to the first thing you asked me when I came on, Dan, mm-hmm. you got to temper it a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't mean if you lose today, you don't have it anymore.
No.
It's a long season, but I agree with you. Everything you said is what everybody's feeling. Right. Everything you just said.
The only last thing, Frange, voice of the Jags joining us. He's getting ready for the initial call of the 2021 season. The only thing we ask now is if somehow, some way, during the broadcast today, you could trip up Baselli. And we can have a nice little liner for tomorrow morning as we welcome Tony to Breakfast with Baselli on the Monday show of the Drill. If you could make that happen, and I know it's not that difficult, but if you could make that happen, we would all be appreciative of it.
Well, it's clear you're assuming the self-tripping up isn't going to happen with Tony, okay? So you may be...
He doesn't need any help? Is that what you're saying? You
may know something I don't know here.
Yes,
so,
yes.
In the event that it doesn't, I'll do all I can. Fellas, great having you on Sunday morning. Thanks for having me on. Enjoy the game. I can't wait to watch.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate you. There he goes. Frank Frangie, voice of the Jags.
Little does he know, the first of 17 consecutive appearances.
He's the voice. Got to have the voice. Why wouldn't you have the voice?
On the Wingstop kickoff show.
Yeah.
Let's come back and let's look at some of the angles to the game, Dan.
Some of the keys.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do that when we come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next.
Break it down. X's and O's.
Getting game day underway. The Wingstop Kickoff Show, presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
It's great to be along here on the Wingstop Kickoff Show. Hicken and Prosser doing our thing here on a Sunday a.m. Jaguars and the Houston Texans out there in Houston. Oh, I'm jealous of you boys who went to Papacito's last night.
Dawn of a new day.
Hope you guys had a good time out there in H-Town as you guys make your way to NRG Stadium. There cannot be a lot of optimism in Houston, Texas right now with this franchise. The Houston Texans. We'll talk more about that with Hayes Carline. That's coming up at 9:30 as we go behind enemy lines. But right now, why don't we do some keys to the game?
Now, the keys to the game. Brought to you by Instant Keys, fast professional, honest locksmith service.
Did you see what happened there?
Yeah.
Like the key sound effect used to be keys jingling, and now it's like the boop, boop. That you get from your keyless or remote. I see what they did there. Keep it up with the times.
Can you play that one more time, Hammer?
Listen to what happens here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, the keys to the game. Brought to you by Instant Keys.
Huh?
Fast, professional, honest locksmith service.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Journalistic instinct there.
Appreciate you guys.
You know what I'm going to say about this, Dan?
What?
Every time you see a keys to the game feature, any and everywhere in the history of broadcasting, it's always a nice round number, isn't it? Like 3 or 5. Here are your 5 keys to the game. Certain parts of football are key to every game.
Yeah.
Win the turnover battle.
Oh, dear.
You know, those that.
We going Boselli like score more points?
No. No, but to me, for this game, and it might be different for different weeks, there are two keys to today's game to me. So if I could offer up mine, and then you could fill it out to our nice round number of three or five.
Okay.
Right. But the two that jump out to me, because they were two that they were not good at last year, and they play to the strengths of the Texans. The Jaguars were not a good team stopping the run last year. They were atrocious.
Been bad for years.
If Houston has a strength, it is a stable of veteran running backs, each of whom have proven they're capable of going for 100 yards if you let them today.
And I think that's why the Jaguars have a little bit of confidence because, albeit the preseason, they did stop the run in every game. So Malcolm Brown and Ward and Harris and all those guys up front need to make some plays today. For this Jaguars defense. Stopping the run, I agree with you, is a very important part of the Jaguars attack because Tyrod Taylor is Tyrod Taylor, okay? He's a good backup.
And he can also run some too.
Yeah. If you contain him and make him beat you throwing the ball, you've got an excellent chance. And I think there's some confidence by this Jaguars team that they will be able to stop the run.
I think there is too. Now, they have a very accomplished receiver in Brandon Cooks, who lit the Jaguars up last year and has historically had pretty good success against the Jaguars' D. Now, it's a D that's been rebuilt, and it needed to be.
Yes, it did.
I mean, you look on the offensive side of the football, Dan, and basically, outside of Trevor Lawrence, it's not very different from last year's starting lineup. The only two differences, really, would be Marvin Jones and Trevor Lawrence, right?
Right.
I mean, the rest of the starting lineup for offensively is intact. Now, defensively, they had to rebuild it. And so I think stopping the run is going to be ultimately important.
What is your other key to the game?
It's protecting Trevor Lawrence. They were not a good pass-protecting team last year.
Okay.
The offensive line, you know, has its moments. And sometimes those moments can last for a couple or three games. If you are going to protect your rookie quarterback, do it best today than you do all year. That would behoove you. This is a tough spot for Trevor on the road. I'm sure the Houston Texans, like every other fan base, are going to be there today. They're excited to get back out and enjoy football. They haven't been in a full stadium in a year. So I think the atmosphere isn't going to be the atmosphere of some fan base expecting a 2-14 team. I think they look at their preseason and the stress they caused offenses defensively. They had 10 turnovers in the preseason. And they're going to try and get after Trevor Lawrence and confuse him. And so protect him. You know, give him a clean pocket. Let some plays develop.
Well, they need to. And they need to find out who can hit those explosive plays. Because as we talked about earlier in the show, I'm not sure that number 25 is going to be able to provide that part of the game. I think he's a very good NFL running back.
James Robinson.
James Robinson is not that breakaway guy. Now, I know he tried to get faster and such. I don't want him dancing around. I want him north-south, pounding the line, getting the yards that he can get. And he's followed up by Carlos Hyde. So you're not really going to get that, I don't think, from the run game. Therefore, if you want explosive plays, and one of the things that Urban talked about when he jumped in with the Jaguars is, I looked at all the games last year, there were no explosive plays. So who is going to provide those explosive plays for him? Well, you got to protect to get those explosive plays because those plays happen down the field, and it takes the receivers a little bit of time to get down the field. So that's step one in getting those explosive plays. Trevor shows he can throw it. We know he can hit those plays if they're there.
Is there any doubt in your mind
that
LaVisca Chenault, DJ Chark, or Marvin Jones are all capable of giving you an explosive play? I think they can. I think they will.
I'm not sure.
This is all about the quarterback.
I don't think LaVisca Chenault's a fast guy. I don't think there's speed there. I think he's more of a bruising kind of wide receiver who I love on the little crossing routes. And if he gets free or breaks a couple tackles, it can turn him into explosive plays.
That's what I mean.
But I don't necessarily think he's our explosive
play guy.
Turning
a 5-yarder into a 20-yarder,
I think DJ Chark's got to step up and become the guy. And if he can't, then you know what? Then
They'll keep looking.
I think this is a huge year for him. It's his fourth year. It's a contract year. I think he's now healthy. He got hurt in preseason, but he's back. He worked hard this week. All indications are he's ready to go. I think DJ Chark has to get down the field, catch the football, secure the football, and make plays this year with Trevor Lawrence. If he can do that, I think he'll be around for a while. And if he can't, they'll move on and go find somebody else.
I talked about, you know, what could be a key, the atmosphere. And I suggested that, well, it's first game in Houston. They've got a team coming to town. I doubt that they're, you know, completely down on their franchise. Not if you go to the resale market, which is indicating that.
Not much.
Well, for one, we're going to, I think we'll have enough Jaguar fans in Houston to actually hear and feel them in the broadcast today. I do. I mean, Frank talked about the number he's seen, and you and I both know people personally that have gone. We've had people that reached out and contacted the drill late in the week saying that they were going. But right now, to get into the season opener today against the Jags on the secondary market, just $21. I mean, that's low for there.
Yeah, it's not much.
Ticketmaster also reselling. They have a ticket as cheap as $20, less than half the price of the next lowest ticket offering in the NFL. And what that means is that there are a lot of ticket holders in Houston planning on not going to the game.
Correct. You know what's an expensive ticket coming up Saturday? It'll be Florida and Alabama in the Swamp. The game is officially a sellout. There'll be 90,000 plus on hand. There'll be a lot of Crimson Tide fans there. I'll be very curious to see the early line on this game. I think it's going to go up.
I think it'll be right where it was in the offseason.
I think it's going to be 19.5.
But to open, I bet you it's 17.
Okay.
Which is what they said it in July.
Yeah.
And at the time, I can remember as we were, you know, on the air one morning saying, that's way too many. I'd take that.
Yeah.
I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't because if you ask me right now. And you know what?
Things couldn't have gone more perfectly for Alabama yesterday. Because Nick got ticked.
Yeah, they were just sketchy enough that he could light into it.
Yes, I think he almost makes that happen. I think, as I've told you before, I think he's not only the greatest coach in college football history, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time at Alabama in terms of, you know, what he's done there is dynastic. They're in a perfect spot coming into Gainesville, and Florida is in a little bit of flux with the quarterback situation. Dan Mullen won't back down on Emory Jones, but the bigger issue is the hamstring of Anthony Richardson, because I feel like that was a hammy pull.
Well, first things first, I don't think there has been a player in the history of Gator football to make the impact with his play sheet that Anthony Richardson made yesterday.
You've never seen.
Passes for 150 yards and two touchdowns.
He had seven touches for 267 yards. That's almost 40 yards a touch.
And four touchdowns.
You'll never see anything like
that. No. And so he is the future of the position. Dan Mullen can now play footsie with the media all he wants.
Right.
It's as clear to any and everybody.
And he can say we have two quarterbacks.
Whatever.
And by the way, he can play Emory Jones.
Sure.
That's fine.
But this guy's so much better.
Anthony Richardson is better. Difference. It's clear.
He looks like a guy we're going to be talking about as a potential number one overall pick in a couple of years.
The only thing I didn't like about Danny Mullen's post game, and I get it, I trust him. He manages the quarterbacks well, and it's a hard situation. I totally understand. And it's not about loyalty, et cetera. He has some points, and we're not there. We don't live it every day.
Yeah.
So I get it. But to sit there and say, well, Anthony Richardson didn't do some good things in the second half.
The other guy threw picks.
He touched it and he went 80 yards running.
Yeah.
He threw it to Copeland, bailing to his left on a line for about 50, down to about the 5-yard line. And then you took him out of the game and we couldn't get it into the end zone.
I think he averaged 58 yards.
Orlovsky was interesting on the broadcast because
the whole
Orlovsky,
game he was playing him, yeah.
And he was like, I he's much better than he's much more mature than I. I'd be going crazy.
Yeah.
How can you take me out right now?
Yeah.
Are you crazy? I'd be going up to the coach right now. I'm ready to go back in.
Orlovsky was pissed.
I'm a little. I don't want to get melodramatic and start using, like, you know, chick flick words like, you know, disheartened and saddened. But there was a simpler time where you could be 2-0, excited for what you've seen and hopeful this week against Alabama. And it seems like everything now is like national championship or bust. If you don't look like a national champion this week, you suck.
That's fair. That's fair.
And so here's a Gator football team making they made a lot of strides yesterday. Receivers got open. That makes you feel a little bit better.
Copeland had a big game.
Copeland did. Henderson had a few grabs.
Yep.
So, you know, the running game is going to be I do think they're way undersold, Anthony Richardson. I think they know, you know, we all know he ain't playing next week.
Right.
He tore his hamstring.
Well,
you know, they played it down, and they want to keep Alabama guessing. But Emory Jones doesn't look like he's capable of beating. He may be capable of beating Alabama at some point of his career. But those mistakes are what are killing you, Dan. If he didn't have the interceptions, you'd even feel okay.
Jeff,
but he's making bad throws.
And he repeated it.
Correct.
And Orlovsky had a good point about that. He's got to have a little more bounce. He drops back and he sits there and he waits. You can't wait against Alabama because you'll get sacked. Even the sack he took at the end of the game, the very end of the game where he had him throw, you got to get rid of the football. You got to get rid of the football. So there were three that glare, and the two picks in that were enough for me to know that, listen, your best bet right now is Anthony Richardson. Now, I'm not as doom and gloom as you. I don't I don't think he tore his hamstring, but I think he hurt his hamstring. I don't think he just, quote, tweaked it. And one thing we've learned from Doc Murphy of Southeast Orthopedic Specialists, once you do the hamstring, it's a year-long thing. And the frustrating part of that and the chatter on social media was, well, you left him out so long, he got cold standing there, and then all of a sudden he has to go 80 yards and he, you know, pulls up lame. So, and again, that's neither here nor there, but it is what it is at this point. But Florida, I'm not real confident about their chances to beat Alabama. However, they did hang with Alabama better than anybody last year. They lost 52-46. Now, two totally different teams, but so is Alabama. So it's obviously the greatest challenge for Florida, but Florida can put that chip on their shoulder. They've got the home field. They've got a couple things working for them, and they've got to take advantage of that and throw some haymakers early at the Tide and see what happens.
There are two things, though, from watching, and again, I'm not putting it on some it's not the end of the world if you lose to Alabama. It's going to be worse if it gets ugly, for sure.
Yeah.
But the defense and the quarterback play don't look anywhere near good enough to beat Alabama. And you can't help but feel like Alabama's going to come in and treat Florida about like they would treat Ole Miss.
Is Anthony Richardson a first-round draft pick?
It looks like he will be.
Yeah. Doesn't he look like that already?
Like I said, it's what we've seen.
Do you remember when we watched?
It looks like a number one pick.
We watched Jameis Winston on Labor Day against Pitt? And he went like 17 of his first 18. And I said, that's the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. And that was his first time out there. I feel like that with Anthony Richardson. I feel like that's how good that young man is going to be. Now, I don't know what kind of NFL quarterback he is, but I'm just telling you from a athletic standpoint. Did you see his cartwheel flip yesterday before
pre-game?
The game?
Yeah.
He almost went like too far. He flipped so much.
I mean, this is a 6'4", 240-pound man who can do things that nobody else can do. Again, you're only going to have him this year and next. So you're in a tough spot if you're Dan Mullen, because as much as you like Emory Jones and as much as you want to be loyal to him, and that's fine, it's not just loyalty. Again, I don't want to keep saying that. But it's clear that Richardson, by the way he threw it yesterday, and again,
what frustrated me
is that he didn't get Anthony enough plays. I wanted more snaps, you know, and I obviously his plan is two series, one series, but he goes in there and he throws a 75-yard touchdown on one play, and that's it. Then he puts Emory back in.
Well, this is all muted for now because, as I said, I'm not buying that he has a tweak. He looked like he was hurt enough on his body language, the way he was limping, his facial expressions, the way he pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to risk Anthony Richardson for the rest of the year, which still includes big games, LSU, Georgia, FSU down the line.
Yes.
You're not going to put him in a situation next week. So it'll be Emory Jones or bust, and unfortunately, I'm sure overall, and you hate to have to make these characterizations and evaluations on the college kids versus the pro ones. The pro ones, it's a lot freer to call them as you see them. But Emory's been bad. He hasn't been mediocre. He's been bad. He's thrown four interceptions. He's playing against overmatched opponents. He's throwing a barely over 50% completion.
Yeah.
He's not he has not shown this incredible, nuanced instinct to taking off and running. And he has been thoroughly outplayed by a guy who has never played in his career.
Yeah.
So it's hard to be confident now that where I will go back to, how this we kind of started here. That doesn't mean that the Gators suck.
No.
That doesn't mean that they're not going to beat anybody. It doesn't mean that, watch out, Tennessee's coming to town. It just means that through this building, they're still not to a level where they can compete with an Alabama team starting a freshman quarterback in hostile territory.
In two games, albeit against lesser competition, Anthony Richardson has 11 carries for 275 yards.
I mean, that's high schoolish.
I mean,
that the run that he made where he pulled up with the hamstring, he did everything in one run. He eluded at the line, he barreled over at the second level, and then he outran the third level.
Yeah.
Again, Dan Mullen is going to start risking credibility with his comments if he doesn't back off the...
Emory Jones in two games against lesser competition is 31 of 49, which is 63%.
Yeah.
But he has four picks and two touchdowns.
Yeah, the four picks are just unacceptable.
Can't do that.
No, Alabama's going to pick him six times next week, Dan.
Correct.
The Florida's going to get relegated, I feel, to just running the football because they're not going to be able to throw.
Yeah.
And so, and then that Alabama offense is just going to steamroll them.
And
it's what it feels like. Now,
I understand you want to get even the running backs and the running backs you want to get touches, and that's fine. And but it's clear to me that Damian Pierce is probably your best running back. And after that, I wouldn't mind seeing DeMarcus Bowman getting a couple opportunities. So I don't know. We'll see what happens going forward. Obviously, as big as it comes. Last thing about the Gators, and we'll get back to the Jags and continue we're doing our Wingstop kickoff show. Play quick. Would you rather? Would you rather beat Bama and then lose one of the Kentucky-Tennessee double? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Or lose to Bama and beat both Kentucky and Tennessee.
And by the way, here, the Wingstop kickoff show is intended and it will be executed this football season. It's kind of a bridge from the college Saturday that it was into the Sunday. So if you're tuning in here and you know, expecting 120 consecutive minutes of Jaguars pregame,
yeah,
we feel pretty good about the fact that the Jaguars pregame coverage here on 1010XL is very widespread. So, and we'll, in fairness, if when we count up the minutes, at the end of the 120, it'll be about 100 of them devoted to Jaguars pregame, which we are very excited about. So,
well, I'm sighing because Jason La Canfora is up to it again, and we'll share some of that with you when we come back. It's about Urban and the era that has begun and is underway. And, oh, Jason, one day, Jason, I may have to slap you. This is the Wingstop Kickoff Show with Dan and Jeff. Don't forget, we have a big giveaway coming up as well where we are going to set you up with a party unlike anybody else, courtesy of our friends at Wingstop.
Starting your game day, the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
Presented by
Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
All right, welcome back. It's the Wingstop Kickoff Show. Hicken and Prosser hanging out here on a Sunday morning, 9:17, marching up to the pregame show at 10. Jags coverage at 1 o'clock, the game. Frank Frangie, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman on the call. Rick Blue on the sidelines. After that, lots of post-game stuff happening. So all day long right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Road Sundays will be right here inside the Mothership Studios of 1010XL, mm-hmm. but you can join us at Tailgaters on home Sundays, and that'll start next week. The next 2 weeks we'll have home games, but we'll be originating the show live down at Tailgater. So stop by.
Will we be outside in the environment, or will we be in an air-conditioned lot?
We will be outside in the environment. It's football season.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just asking.
No, I don't know if there's such thing as an air-conditioned lot.
I'd like to be
there. Maybe there is. I don't know.
Just an idea for the show. Urban Meyer era begins amid tumult and discord, and
Jaguars'
morale has already suffered by Jason La Canfora.
Yeah, this guy is a Jag hater. And I think, in part, I'm going to say this in all seriousness.
Uh-huh.
I think Jason La Canfora's bloodlust of Jag hate mm-hmm. has been fed and increased by 1010XL's reaction to him.
Yeah.
Because every time he does it, we and our Googans chastise him like they should
boys.
Be.
Jag boys on social media will go get you.
Yeah.
And they'll go get him again and again.
And we've had him on here and called him a liar because he's a liar.
Well, he's been wrong. Yeah. That's correct. Urban Meyer's ability to adapt, this is La Canfora, to the NFL game and make a smooth transition from college is a topic of considerable debate in league circles already.
They haven't even played a game.
And there was no shortage of red flags this offseason, according to multiple sources. I'd like to know who his sources are. There have been repeated issues with other coaches on staff, with Meyer's temper and lack of familiarity with the ebbs and flows of the NFL calendar, rubbing the Jaguars staff and players the wrong way. I'm going to say this again, and I said this last time. There is no coach or player associated with this organization who has any right to complain about things being difficult, considering what this franchise has been the last few years.
And I'll take it one step further. I believe that Jason La Canfora, when he says that, is fabricating the storyline.
There is a disconnect at times between the members of the staff with extensive pro experience and those who lack it, and morale has suffered as the outbursts have continued.
Have you seen any morale, any sign of that, honestly, from anyone?
His fiery remarks to players and coaches after games have already struck many as bizarre. He has everyone looking over their shoulders already, said one source with direct knowledge of the daily operations in Jacksonville.
He's a liar. He
becomes
just a clown.
Unhinged way too easily, and he doesn't know how to handle losing even in the preseason. He loses it and wants to take over the drills himself. It's not good. Again, if the drill is not being run right and the head coach sees it and takes over it, good. There were difficulties getting the schedule set and installations completed on time, sources said, with Meyer pushing to treat the preseason games more like the regular season in terms of how vanilla to keep the game plans and how much to play the most vital players. Meyer, wildly successful at the college level, often enjoying superior personnel, has lashed out at his staff after exhibition losses, and sources called some of the job security into question, despite them having yet to play a game that matters in the standings. Another source said, you can't freak out about preseason games and belittle your coaches on a staff you handpicked. Every time things don't go your way, it's not going to work here.
I don't think
again,
that
ever, even if he did, I don't care.
That is the softest, frou-frouest nonsense. Your staff is being belittled.
Uh-huh.
I'm starting to think that nobody covering the league anymore has ever been around football, around the game, its heartbeat and its blood flow in locker rooms or on fields. This is not supposed to be please and thank you sportage, okay? That's not what football is. And those who play please and thank you are going to be 4-12 at the end of the year with a happy locker room and a feel-good fan base.
There are also some internal concerns about the personnel. Meyer does not have an NFL background and opted to put the franchise tag on tackle Cam Robinson and stick with the same offensive line until that has had difficulty staying healthy and productive and is coming off a 1-15 season. Again, he says Urban opted to do that. You don't think that that they didn't discuss this? By the way, you don't think this wasn't brought? And by the way, putting a franchise tag on Cam, listen, in hindsight, ETN is the second first-round pick, taking a running back in the first round versus taking an offensive lineman. Well, you got the value with what you hope in Walker Little, who's going to be starting here. He's the key to
Can
this.
Can I peel back the curtain on media just for a second and tell the audience something that's going on here with this Jason Lock-on-4 and the way he covers the Jags?
Please.
Okay, Lock-on-4 fancies himself in the peer circle of Peter King and Pete Thamel and Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport. Now, the other four have been given access to Urban Meyer at some point in these last 5 months. They've done stories with him. They've had interviews with him. Something tells me that Jason LaCanfora has not gotten those same opportunities, and this is his way of combating that.
Sucking his thumb, wetting his pants, doing the Meyer dance.
Something like that.
That's what it sounds like to me.
So
questions persist about how Meyer will be able to endure the inevitable setback still to come. Okay, la. We haven't discussed that a million times.
Yeah.
And based on the struggles and strife of the summer, with word spreading quickly in this league, these doubts persist as the grand experiment truly begins this weekend.
By the way, what league? Do you honestly think anyone in Pittsburgh gives a rat's rear what's going on in Jacksonville? See, that's another little cliche he throws out there. There's no buzz around the league right now about what's going on with the L.A. Chargers. No. Your local market cares, and I would disingenuously is lying, taking one example of some crybaby within the organization, if there is one, because it's way and these things may play out to be that. I don't know.
Right.
But they certainly are not occurring at this stage. That's a lie.
I'll just ask you this.
Yeah.
There's a man who coached this franchise and coached the New York Football Giants. And there were a lot more whispers and pounding and screaming and yelling.
100%.
And how did that turn out in New York? Okay? All right? So if you scream and yell and kick and belittle and you grab us a couple Lombardis, God bless you.
I just don't like the disingenuousness. If you don't like Urban Meyer, the Jags, or you're offended, that's all fine. And full disclosure, say it. But when you constantly drip, drip, drip these kinds of negative, I hear stories, that's wrong.
It's wrong.
It's wrong for this guy on a national platform. Oh, I hear this. No, I don't believe you. Just as he heard, this is the same buffoon who said that Tom Coughlin was going to step out of the front office, fire Doug Marone, and coach the football team. That's what his, quote, sources told him, which was a lie because he doesn't have sources concerning Tom Coughlin.
Oh, well, Jaguar fan has seen it. And
well, good. They're letting him have it.
Oh,
listen to me. Light him up.
Yeah.
Find Jason LaCanfora on.
I think LaCanfora is the one who said that the Jaguars would be in London by 2021 or something like that, anyway.
You know, good. Go get him. Get him.
Yeah. Yeah. They're getting him. they're getting.
And they should. And this guy is a clown.
Remember when he said Coughlin was going to be the head coach?
I just said that. Yeah. He said he was. He reported that Tom Coughlin was going to replace Doug Marrone with himself.
Yeah. There is no. I will say this about the national sports.
No accountability.
Media. There is no accountability anymore. And it's all about getting clicks and such and writing these things. And it's not fair. It's really not fair.
Hammer, what's our break schedule here? We got no pretense. I don't know who you know you're dealing with, but we'll just ask you straight out. We'll all learn together.
Well, our break structure is we have this break after we deal with Hayes.
So we're going to talk to Hayes now.
Yes, we are.
Okay. And then
that was already predetermined. We had a meeting.
Okay.
You opted to go into the kitchen commissary.
I did, yes, for 100%.
I don't know if you're looking for food down there.
No, I made some coffee.
That's all coffee.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it. I'm jazzed up about this Jaguars season opener like I've never been jazzed for a Jag season opener, except maybe the first game in franchise history. I'm more excited about this one than any.
Now let's go behind enemy lines.
Behind enemy lines.
Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
I thought the Houston Texans were our enemy, but after this morning, Hayes Carline, I may have to ask you to look for Jason La Canfora in the press box and slap him upside the head.
Yeah, I'll be happy to do that.
That guy's some kind of jerk, Hayes. I'm glad I'm no longer a game day, journalist, so that I'm off on the road and have to see these tools. This guy's just a jerk.
I mean, well, Laka is the guy that disgruntled people go to when Schefter, Mortensen, Rappaport, and about 20 other people don't take their calls because their complaints are so stupid.
Uh-huh.
Then they go to Laka.
Ah.
So that's where we're at with
this. Kaka, I mean, is what I call him. Kaka.
Yes. Well, no one has looked forward to this Jaguar season as much as Hayes Carline, and he is in Houston, boots on the ground, ready to watch, ready to write about, ready to talk about the debut of the franchise, one Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, it's a day we've all waited a long time for since Frank Gore got that first down, and now it's here, and let's go get a W, and I think they will. I think Trevor will play well. I mean, there'll be, I think, moments of anxiety because they've got to work through so many things being a young team with a new staff, but at the end of the day, one team has Trevor Lawrence and one team doesn't. That'll be the difference. We're going to say that an awful lot over the next 20 years.
When I was a game day journalist and would be on these road trips following a team or teams, I always get a kick and always enjoy reading the local media there. Back in the day, they had newspapers. I guess now you kids will do it on your iPad. But nonetheless, reading the coverage of the local market and how they view their team and how they view this game. And to that end, Hayes, I doubt if everyone in Houston is just sure that the Texans are going to lose to the Jags today.
I think so. Most of the Houston people that I've spoken with aren't even aware there's a game today.
Right.
I think the Texans aren't really on the radar much after what kind of an offseason they've had. So I'm really interested in seeing the crowd breakdown today because we know that this was a game the Jaguar fan base pinpointed as soon as the schedule came out and said, okay, Trevor's debut, Urban's debut, we need to be there. I think you're going to see a massive Jaguars contingent today. And to be honest, I think the Texans fans are going to be incredibly apathetic about where their franchise is right now. So I don't know what the numbers will be. But from a percentage standpoint of the crowd, I'm expecting to see the biggest amount of teal that I've ever seen in a road venue.
Nice.
Oh, that's exciting. Hayes Carline is behind enemy lines, and you can understand the apathy. I mean, if you're Houston in that organization, you can paint it any way you want, but it has to be extremely, extremely uncomfortable with the Deshaun Watson thing going on. I mean, they can talk all they want. They can have the meetings they want. They can talk to Deshaun all they want. The bottom line is you got a 26-year-old franchise quarterback who won't play for you. And by the way, I'm assuming, what if, the NFL has not yet ruled on him? So he could play, but he's opting to not play. Is that correct, Hayes?
That's what I think is so puzzling about it, is I would have expected the league to step in a month ago.
Right.
And say, okay, you're on the exempt list. You can still get paid, but we're not going to have you out there representing the league and while this case is going on. And I really find it peculiar that the league didn't do that. And so really, he could be playing. There's nothing really stopping him from playing other than the incredible discord between him and the franchise. So it's pretty remarkable that this is where it is, where it's gotten. And now you just have to see, does he get moved at some point? It just seems like until his legal issues are resolved, it's really hard to figure out compensation with him. If you know that Deshaun Watson is cleared, if this goes away legally, then obviously he is worthy of 3 first round picks, but you're not going to give that up not knowing if,
right,
you know, he's got a potential severe legal penalty coming his way.
He's Hayes Carline. His boots on the ground in Houston, Texas. He's behind enemy lines. Hayes, what, as we wrap up with you, what concerns you from the Jaguars' perspective today? What's the biggest concern you have for this franchise today in the game against Houston?
I'm just concerned about the operational things. Like, it's a new staff. There's a lot of good, you know, Urban's never done this. Joe Collins never called a defensive game. Trevor Lawrence has never played in an NFL game. They've got a lot of young guys. They've got even at the experienced positions, like offensive line, they weren't together at all during the preseason. I'm just worried about, from a cohesive standpoint, will they be okay? If they're okay, I think they're going to be in great shape. I'm not overly concerned about pass rush is the biggest concern on the team, but with Tyrod Taylor, I think they're going to do more of a contained rush and really not try to get after him, because if you miss and he gets away, then that's what really makes him a dangerous player. So I think they're content to let Tyrod Taylor hang in the pocket and deliver it from there, and they'll take their chances. So I think they'll stop Houston's ground game, and I think that's what the Texans will lean on. So as long as the Jaguars just don't beat themselves, I think they come back 1-0.
My biggest concern is what the Texans' defense might do to a Jaguars offense that, outside of that, you know, one half against the Cowboys, struggled to get any cohesiveness going. I know the Texans, and I know it's just the preseason, but when you speak to their system, they did force 10 turnovers in 3 games. So I would imagine, you know, with some veterans that they have on that defense and with Lovie Smith running, that they're going to at least at times be successful in confusing and harassing Trevor Lawrence. And so how do you deal with bouncing back from those mistakes, right? As we've always said, it's not just the mistakes you made, but how do you respond to them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you'll see James Robinson a lot early on to try and get Trevor settled in. And I would anticipate they'll have some success doing that. And then I think as Trevor gets kind of into the groove of things, second quarter, third quarter, fourth, then I think you're going to start to see his playmaking come to life a little bit. So again, I think there will be rough moments because it's the opener, and I think the game will be close. But at the end of the day, I think the Jaguars will get the win.
Well done, Hayes Carline. We appreciate it. We appreciate and look forward to talking to you throughout the season. You are always behind enemy lines. Enjoy your day in Houston, my friend.
You too, gentlemen. Take care.
Thank there you. He goes, Hayes Carline. Nobody does it better, and nobody has his finger on the pulse of this Jaguars franchise more.
He's
than Hayes Carline.
The quote. Beat reporter is what we call that in the biz.
He is. We'll take a break. We'll keep it rolling here on the Wingstop kickoff show.
Speaking of the Wingstop kickoff show, Wingstop is going to bolster your tailgate. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to give you a chance to get the unbelievable tailgate package.
I want the tailgate package. I want it for us next Sunday when we're out there getting ready for the Bronx.
I think that if we continue to do a yeoman's job on the Wingstop kickoff show,
on home days they'll bring us food?
I think they will. I think on home days, they're going to bring us some food down there.
Hammer going to be out there with us, or is the Hammer stuck here?
The Hammer may be stuck here, but if we
How does Beef get to go with us on the shows on the road? And
maybe we could.
The young Hammer doesn't.
Hammer, would you like to go on the road with us for these shows? You would?
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe we could pull some, maybe we could make Beef come in and do it from here.
Or we could get the guy I thought was
Hammer,
the Hammer, Matt, and have him come in and do that.
Yeah, Dan is not very good when it comes to the, quote, smaller people at the station. I mean, no disrespect.
That was a little disrespectful.
Well, no, if you don't, all I mean by that is you don't see him as often, then he'll never know who you are.
Oh, but I
know you do.
I know plenty now about Michael Phillips.
And
he goes by Michael, not Mike. He's a Bartram Trail grad. His dad is
he's MP Hammer.
Is a hard worker for the banks, banking system.
The banking system. Yeah.
He likes the Gators. He's sort of a Philly sports fan, but not exactly a fan of the Phils.
Commit this to memory.
Not really a, quote, baseball guy.
Well,
need I go on?
We don't need him to be a baseball guy, do we? Because Hammer is taking us home with the Wingstop Kickoff Show. And woo! That continues, including your chance to win next here on the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
The Wingstop Kickoff Show.
Presented by Clearwater Irrigation and Kohler Homes Windows and Doors on 1010XL.
Well, as we wind down the Wingstop Kickoff Show, we want to wind you up with a great chance at a giveaway. Stand by for that momentarily. We're getting ready for and counting down to the Jaguars and the Texans. It counts now. Jacksonville 3-point favorites, by the way. 45.5, you're over under currently. A little bit of a depleted secondary for Houston. Maybe opportunities for Trevor, we hope so. Remember, Bradley Roby wasn't going to play anyway, but definitely not. Lonnie Johnson, the safety's dealing with a little bit of a thigh injury. Tyrod Taylor is their quarterback. He's never had a big day against the Jags. He only threw for, I think, 134 yards in the playoff loss, albeit against a much better defense back then.
I think Houston's only chance really is to establish a rotation with those four running backs and just maximize what they can do on the ground. And that has been a big point of emphasis for Urban Meyer and this football franchise this offseason, fixing that run defense. You cannot win in the NFL getting gashed for 200+. I mean, that's just it goes without saying.
Understand, Jeff, how bad the Jaguars have been of late. 15 straight losses. That's 10th longest losing streak since the NFL merger in 1970, and a couple more, and it will be way up there. They've also have 18 straight games allowing at least 20 points. That's tied for the 5th longest streak since 1970. It'd be nice to erase that today.
Maybe we can find some symmetry in the number 13. I was looking at the Jaguars' history.
Symmetry.
Their first 13 years from 95 to 08, they had six or seven seasons where they won double-digit games.
Okay.
Well over 500 for the 13 years. Mm-hmm. They made like 8 playoff appearances in 13 years. In the next 13 years, they've lost double-digit games 9 of the 13, mm-hmm. and they've only made the playoffs once. So it's time to kickstart another 13-year run, and this one with Trevor Lawrence, I have a feeling, is going to go a lot better.
How bad have the Jags been? This is just the third time in the last 15 years that Jacksonville has been a road favorite in a division game.
Wow. Wow, that's just and by the way, coming off a 1-15 year. Man, the lack of respect by Vegas for Houston should give us all a little bit of good tidings. It really should.
Yes, sir.
I mean, Vegas is usually pretty right. These trends and numbers just scream stay away from the Jaguars if it came to actually betting the game.
Can't stop Wingstop, Jeff. What type of party are we about to hand out to
my
one
kind of party.
Lucky person?
Yeah, my kind of party. Mm-hmm. And this is going to happen every week. So you keep listening to the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
With Dan and Jeff.
Starring, I believe.
I'm sorry. And the Hammer.
Hammer had a great idea, but then he didn't execute it.
Let's
you see what
it
happened
again.
There?
This is the Wingstop Kickoff Show. Start, you're supposed to say
God.
It.
Starring Dan and Jeff.
Yeah, I don't know. We're making such progress.
One cup of coffee.
Kind of a rookie mistake right there, kid. That's all right.
We've dubbed him the Hammer. No one else calls him that.
At least I didn't repeat the mistake like Emery.
So no one. let's don't go down that path.
Good luck.
Here's what we're going to do.
All right, what do we have?
Every Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Listen, tailgating is a great part of football.
Great part of Americana.
It's game day, and that's why it's so important that we be at tailgaters every home Sunday starting next week.
Frankly, I'm a little frustrated that we're not tailgating right here, right now with some Wingstop.
I kind of feel like going forward after we meet the Wingstop folks in person next week that we get it delivered to Studio 2. This is bunk. I mean, when you're at 8 a.m. on a Sunday, we ought to have some food. I mean,
spit take.
Yeah, I gave a hick a spit
Thank
take
you.
There. Well, anyway, when I say we're giving you a Wingstop tailgate party pack,
yes,
I mean we're giving you a Wingstop tailgate party pack. Are you ready, Dan?
I'm ready. What do we have?
50 boneless or bone-in wings, and you can mix that up to 4 different flavors.
All right.
2 large fries.
Like some teriyaki, please.
2 large fries.
Yes.
2 veggie sticks.
Oh.
And 4 signature dips. It'll feed 6 to 9 people. Perfect.
Fred, put down the veggie stick and eat a wing.
I'm watching my weight.
Hey, Fred,
how are the veggie sticks going to go?
What's up with the veggie sticks?
Hey, maybe by two veggie sticks, it's not even two orders of veggie
like two
sticks.
Carrots?
It's just two veggie sticks, one celery, one carrot, because we're here for the wings. Here are we kidding?
I want the wings.
Right? There's
throw
a famous
in an extra
country
dozen
song.
Wings,
there's
maybe.
There's a famous country song, we're here for the beer.
Yeah.
And we're here for the wings.
All right, so again, what do I get? I'm getting fries, I'm getting wings,
you're getting
I'm getting
50
veggie
wings,
sticks.
50 wings, fries, veggie sticks, four of the customized dips that you can dip.
Love
dipping sauce.
The dips. All right.
And so it's going to feed, you know, darn near an army of people.
And you know what? Because we haven't prepared worth a lick, next week we'll have Jaguar trivia for you to win. But today, real simple, man, because it's the first game, first caller, 641-1010.
Oh, just like that.
Right now, first caller, 641-1010, and you're taking home the Can't Stop Wing Stop party pack, and you are going to feast like a champion with your friends and family.
It
How
is,
good is that?
It's a tailgating bonanza, and again, if it's free, it's me, and
yeah.
I'll take 50 in this case. So we'll let Hammer handle the phone lines there.
Okay.
We'll step aside and take our final break on what's been a fast-moving
two-hour
program.
Oh, my goodness, we're done already?
Well, we have been contracted due to our incredible success in one of our features weekly on the drill called the Friday Five Pack to share some of our vast gaming knowledge when it comes to maybe plucking a couple of winners for the listening audience
like
today,
it.
If they are so inclined as to make that part of their NFL Sunday. So a couple of games on the schedule we like when it comes to the Vegas lines and putting a final wrap and getting you set up for the rest of Jaguar game day here on 1010XL. You are locked in on the Wingstop Kickoff Show.
Getting game day underway.
The Wingstop Kickoff Show.
Presented by Clearwater Irrigation.
And Kohler Homes Windows and Doors.
On 1010XL.
All right, we are rolling towards the top of the hour. We'll hand it off to the Jaguars Network. They'll take it all the way through the game. Frank Frangie, Jeff Logman, Tony Boselli on the call. Of course, lots of post-game reaction after the game as the Jaguars try to start the season 1-0 for the second consecutive year. But most importantly, you know, we sat through Glennon and Luton and Minshew and Foles and Kessler and Bortles and Henny and Gabbert and Luke McCown and Trent Edwards and Todd Bowman, those are all the last few quarterbacks of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No bueno.
How many of them are starting in the NFL today, Jeff?
How about none?
We got Trevor Lawrence. And enjoy the ride, Jack, man, because this is
the dawn of a new era.
Yeah,
today.
This is as good as it's going to be, man. And if he's everything we all think he is and what he's shown so far, I mean, he carries himself wonderfully. He's a great representative of our city. And I was telling Pross the other day in a personal phone call, if I'm not mistaken, not to be shared on the radio, that I think Trevor Lawrence is a perfect fit for Jacksonville FLA. I think he'll love it here. I think he already loves it here. He's a small-town Georgia kid who's now sort of he went to Clemson, which he loved. He's now in sort of a bigger city, but he's got restaurants, he's got his beach, he's got a beautiful home already, he's got his wife by his side. I think it's a match made in heaven, and I think the city and our franchise are going to benefit greatly.
I love Jaguars home game days. It's so much fun, the electricity, the excitement around the stadium, and you know that's another benefit of what's happening here. We're going to go through this you know, renaissance.
Yes,
we're going to re-energize
love
this fan base, and it's a lot more fun going down there.
Yes.
When there's 60,000 that are excited and there's atmosphere and there's home field advantage, we haven't look frankly the team's play hasn't earned any home field advantage. They've been repulsive. They've literally repulsed you from going to the games.
That is fair.
But I would say this. I'm glad they're opening on the road. Because even bigger than a Jaguars home day is the lid lifter on an NFL season. And so I'm kind of today glad that they are on the road. I can watch them. I can keep my eye on the rest of the National Football League and all the other season openers. One thing is for sure, Dan, today will be some of the biggest eye-opening upsets of the year because we have this preconceived notion of what a team is.
Yes.
And it often doesn't play out. So, you know, there are going to be a couple of games today where you're like, wow, the Detroit beat San Francisco. I mean, maybe not that one.
Right.
But I do think that.
I don't think that's the one.
No, I don't either. But I do think some surprises.
And we also have some wonderful matchups of teams that, you know, won 11 games a year ago against a team that won 11 games a year ago. We've got, you know, we've got one right here in Jacksonville with Green Bay and New Orleans. But before we get out of here, let's pick this game. It's the Jags and the Texans.
Okay.
We haven't really given our choices yet. The Jags are a 3-point favorite. The over-under is 45.5. What say you? Does Jacksonville cover the 3?
I think
this
that
is not a Friday 5-pack.
No, it's just
piece,
a, kind of
just
looking
for, us
at
talking
from
about
that angle.
Jags Texans and picking the game.
Yeah, I think that the Jags.
Final score, please.
I stay away from picking those Jags games because I inevitably get suckered in with what I want to happen as much as what might happen. I think the Jaguars do win the game, though. I think they win like 23-17.
That means you would take the under.
Nah, I would rather take the – I would rather trust them covering the 3 than play the under. That's just my off-the-cuff.
I tend to agree with you on the under part.
Yeah.
I think it's a close game, so – I would shy away from the 3 points. I think Jacksonville wins, but who knows? Who knows? It could be a game-winning field goal down one late. Trevor drives them. I think it's going to be that kind of game. I don't think it's a gimme, but I do think Jacksonville will stop the run. I think they've stopped the run throughout the preseason, and I'm hopeful that they'll stop the run again today. What I don't want is for us to be shell-shocked at 4 o'clock.
I want to see some.
What I do not want to happen.
I want to see some pressure on the quarterback, Dan. I want to see a Kalyvon Chase on sighting.
Yes.
I want to see this new secondary. I want to see Shaq Griffin cover somebody, man.
Yeah.
I spent all entire preseason watching our biggest free agent investment chase guys downfield getting beat deep. So, I hope that just the brightest of the bright spots jump out us right from the gate. And if you could start this new era with a win at home, I mean a win on the road,
yes.
You come home for two games, how exciting this month may end up.
13 straight quarterbacks drafted number one overall are winless in their first career start. I suspect and I predict Trevor Lawrence will break that today. I'm excited. I cannot wait for 1 o'clock. And the Jacksonville Jaguars to take the field. I think it's going to be awesome.
Well, no one covers game day like 1010XL, your official home of the Jags. We move on to network pregame right now. And then we also have the broadcast, obviously, for you. Then we'll have the postgame, the fifth quarter, the call-in, you name it, we've got it. And, Hick, I guess we'll see him again tomorrow morning.
Word is we're getting tremendous accolades for our first Wingstop kickoff show.
Okay, good.
Starring Dan and Jeff with the hammer. So
he's got a new nickname. If nothing else, we've already made a contribution to the legacy of the MP Hammer.
Michael Phillips, keep it locked and loaded all day. 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars opener time. Here we go, Jacksonville.